For NPR Illinois, I'm Dana Vollmer. Stateville Calling is a documentary exploring the lack of a parole system in Illinois. It follows Bill Ryan, an 84-year-old activist, trying to change that. I spoke with the creators as they start screening the film around the state.
I'm Ben Kolak. I'm a documentary filmmaker with Scrappers Film Group in Chicago.
My name is Yana Kunichoff. I'm an education reporter for Chalk Beach, Chicago right now, and I'm also a documentary film producer.
So we started working maybe 6 years ago with an artist in Chicago, Maria Gaspar, and through her, we got introduced to Bill Ryan, who's been working on incarceration issues. The initial focus of the project was really on the struggle of aging inmates since the death penalty got, you know, the moratorium put on in Illinois, and really this whole notion of changing parole and moving from determinate sentencing back to indeterminate sentencing has come into the foreground as kind of a way to hopefully fix or improve our criminal justice system in Illinois. I don't know if you want to add more to that, Yana.
No, I mean, I think that also, given the Trump presidency in the last couple of years, I think we're really interested in thinking about how change is made at the local level or the state level, and we felt that Illinois was a really interesting example of some of the work that a committed group of activists were able to do here around a criminal justice issue that seemed particularly intractable, which was getting rid of the death penalty. And Bill Ryan, who's a central character in our documentary, was a really big part of that. So I think taking some of those lessons and thinking about how they might apply to the system today was really interesting for us.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can contextualize that a little bit more just for people who are maybe unfamiliar with the fact that we once had a parole system that ended in the 70s. We also put a moratorium on the death sentence. Ben did mention determinate sentencing, but just kind of how did we get to this point where you're not allowed to be sentenced to death, however you can spend your entire life in prison with no chance of getting out? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Essentially, the points that we're hitting, or as we see it, is that indeterminate sentencing, you know, where when somebody commits a crime, they're put in prison and then they appear before people to think about it. Are you rehabilitated? Are you no longer either a threat to society, or have you done your time and learned from or whatnot? That really emerged after the Civil War in the United States, and it was really adopted across the whole country kind of in the latter half of the 19th century. And that was really the norm up until the 1970s, when a number of factors, actually most of which saw themselves as kind of liberal and progressive, said, you know, this indeterminate sentencing, it seems like every time somebody goes up before parole, and if they're rich or maybe if they're white, they get out right away. Versus if they're poorer, maybe if they're a person of color, it seems like they never get out, or it's not fair to them. So kind of along those lines, and coupled with kind of get tough on crime, Richard Nixon thinking in the 1970s, that's when we moved to the determinate sentencing, which is the norm, you know, in a number of states like Illinois, California, a lot of New England, where it's just cut and dry. You get sentenced to a certain number of years. You got to stay there that long. With part of that shift, though, there's a number of people, a number of whom are featured in our film, who were sentenced when it was still indeterminate sentencing. But since we moved to determinate sentencing and everyone is afraid that perhaps if they get out on their watch and if something were to happen, that they would be held accountable, or the precedent that it would set, have now been kind of stuck in prison, whereas if they would have been sentenced maybe during determinate sentencing, they might have gotten out by now, depending on the crime. And I'm sure there's more you can add to that as well, Yana.
Yeah, I mean, I would also just say that this is where the issue of elderly prisoners come in. I think a lot of the people we speak about specifically, or speak to specifically, who were on death row and then their sentence was moved to life in prison without the possibility of parole, they're aging in prison. Elderly prisoners are also the least likely age group to reoffend. They're also the age group that it is most expensive to continue to incarcerate. So you kind of have this these policy issues, and then the very real reality of what it costs to keep elderly prisoners detained, and the really big burden that that places on the system at the same time as they're the least likely to reoffend. So that's some of the contradiction that we're hoping to address through this film.
So when we look at the issue of parole reform, who are the key players in it? Who is in support of it? Who's against it? And what are their arguments?
That's a good question. I think the subjects in the film would definitely be a lot better positioned to answer that. I guess, you know, my first response would be to kind of let the film speak for itself. But, you know, in broad strokes, a lot of what we've encountered is that opponents to it often tend to be representatives of the state's attorney who doesn't want to see these kind of existing sentences rolled back. Perhaps other people that are, their communities are in one way or another being supported or benefiting from the number of incarcerated people. So, you know, there's a lot of parts in the state of Illinois where the prison is one of the larger employers. And so, you know, to see some kind of drop off in prisoners could potentially lead to a drop off of employment, which is certainly a pillar of some communities.
And I would also add to that, that some of the way that this has been moving forward is that Bill Ryan and other folks he works with or works alongside will draft legislation, either pertaining to elderly prisoners or to parole in Illinois, and try and find legislators to support that. So I think that's something that is moving, and the support for that is moving. But that kind of the trend that we've seen is that a lot of the language and framing of what that those efforts look like in the legislature is drafted at the activist or organizer level.
Yeah, and there is a piece of legislation that is kind of at the center of your film, which is this Pathway to Community legislation that's sponsored by Arthur Turner. I was wondering if you could kind of explain what that legislation is seeking to do.
Sure. Well, it's been in a number of manifestations, and I think even the one that we're following the film is no longer what Bill is kind of advocating for. He's always, you know, strategizing and looking to reframe things. But really at the heart of it is this notion of, as Yana was speaking to, that as elderly incarcerated folks, aging inmates, are the least likely to reoffend, and that by releasing them, the state could potentially save an enormous amount of money to do some kind of small test, you know, with a very select, very well vetted group of incarcerated folks, probably largely who have been stuck there, you know, that were sentenced in the days of indeterminate sentencing, to put them in a supportive place and see how it works. And then to gather some data from that to see if it could be scaled up or improved, you know, as a way to make our criminal justice system more about really seeing these incarcerated folks as part of our community and people that we have a duty to support and take responsibility for, rather than just demonize, you know, which is, I think, largely what's been the way of thinking about them since the 70s.
So in making this film, you were able to speak with people who would be potentially able to get early release if a program like the one we just discussed were to pass, or another bill. Would you be able to just touch on some of the stories that you heard, and if there was one that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the prisoners that I do think is a really good example of why parole would be important is named Janet Jackson. She has been incarcerated for over 3 decades for the murder of her husband. So Janet Jackson didn't actually physically murder her husband, but she contracted someone to kill him. And so because of that, she was held responsible for his death and is in prison for life. So she is someone who was abused by her husband. She's spoken a lot about being a survivor of domestic violence and the few tools that she had for getting out of that relationship or dealing with the trauma of that in any other way. But she talks about how she found some of that while incarcerated. But, you know, today she still faces life in prison. She has a series of health ailments. And at the same time, a lot of the rehabilitative services that she feels helped her get to this place where she was able to move past being a survivor of abuse are no longer available in the prison system because of cost. So I think she's an example of someone who actually has a really complicated story for why they were incarcerated. And I think in a lot of ways is sort of a model for what rehabilitation can look like. And she feels that she would be able to do a lot more good not behind bars.
One of the other people that Bill has had one of his longest relationships with is Ronaldo Hudson, who speaks very much to the very difficult upbringing where he witnessed, you know, multiple other family members get killed and kind of the impact that had on him, issues with substance abuse and how that led to the crime that got him incarcerated. And then subsequently, how he's had the time and space to reflect and distance himself, you know, from the kind of conditions that initially made him and led to him being a threat and committing that crime, and the kind of perspective he has now. And, you know, even while incarcerated, he's been such a contribution to society at large. He's been over the years one of the key contributors to the newspaper Stateville Speaks that Bill Ryan helped start, you know, finding an avenue through art making, and just supporting his fellow incarcerated colleagues. And he's really the person that Bill often puts up as the prime example of how somebody can change while incarcerated and how it's foolish and immoral for us as a society to keep them locked up.
For people that do come out and view your film, what do you hope that they take away from it?
The kind of working slogan we have for the film Stateville Calling is rehabilitation a right? Because, you know, there's a number of rights we feel we have, right, as Americans that are stated explicitly. And whereas in some other kind of first world Western or developed countries, rehabilitation is seen as a right, that if you commit a crime, you have a right to get support, to reflect on and reenter society. It's not seen as something in our society, either explicitly or even implicitly. And I think the question is, should it be? You know, should our values, the same values that shape this country, that many of us appeal to or reinforce every Sunday in church, or however we kind of think about our morals, is that something that we all have a right to? And then if so, how do we ensure that from a public policy perspective? That's what I hope people take away from this, that they leave thinking about that issue and continuing to discuss it, because it's something incredibly important to maintaining our community. And from a cost perspective as well, you know, with the amount of money going to prisons instead of schools, that I think, you know, really impacts every one of us as citizens.
Yana, is there anything you'd want to add to that?
I think I would just say that we have tried really hard to bring in kind of as wide of a range of voices as possible into this project. So we obviously talk to the people most affected by this themselves, incarcerated elderly folks. We talk to activists on the ground, but we also talk to people working with the state's attorney's office. We talk to victims groups and people who have themselves been kind of seen tragedy because of violence. And I think that hopefully lays out kind of a really thorough series of arguments and considerations for what I think is a really complicated and emotional but really pressing issue.
Ben Kolak directed Stateville Calling. Yana Kunichoff is the film's producer.